The newest NCAA change is how JUCO eligibility works. And so, if you don't know, there was a recent ruling within a court with the case of Diego Pavia. He's a Vanderbilt quarterback. Maybe you've heard of him. He is the one that upset Alabama this year. And so, he's getting an extra year of eligibility, despite playing junior college. And so, this kind of changes the way that NCAA and college football may work. And so they ended up, this was just for Pavia's case, the NCAA ended up coming out and saying that, any senior, any college senior that graduated in 2020 and on, or started their college football path in 2020 and on, within those 5 years, essentially, gets that extra year of eligibility, just like Diego Pavia. Now, that is where we're at currently. And so there is definitely more to come. This will be a continuing thing for a while now. And so I want to touch on this because there's a lot of misinformation out there. I've done a decent amount of due diligence, definitely not an expert on the situation, because I'll kind of give you my take on it as well. But you need to understand this is going to change a little bit of how recruiting works. And so the biggest thing is just understand the situation. First off, JUCO eligibility does not, like, still counts against NCAA eligibility, at least up to this point. My recommendation would be to pretend like it's not going to happen. And I'm not saying this in a way that it's not going to happen, but the last thing you want to do is do something rash, because you expect this to happen and then it doesn't happen. And so I think JUCO is a great path. I went JUCO, I love it. I think it's a great way to develop. You get the 2 years. You can grayshirt, which is a whole nother thing in terms of saving eligibility. You get to keep your redshirt, all this stuff. And as well as you get to play against competition early on instead of like waiting your freshman, sophomore year, and gives you a second chance at recruiting, all this good stuff. And so I'm not saying JUCO is bad or anything like that. Just the last thing you want to do is bank on this happening, go JUCO because of that, and then this doesn't pass through. You didn't want to go JUCO in the first place, and you're banking on that extra eligibility. And so that's what I don't want to happen. If JUCO is the path for you, go for it. I think it's a great path. But those are the kind of things that I worry about when I see all this. I see people that are hitting the transfer portal because they think they have 4 years because their JUCO years didn't count. And it's definitely upsetting to me because I just want to speak on that. Now, with that, I mean, again, this is going to change the landscape of recruiting. If I was a betting man, I would bet that, there may be some changes to the eligibility stuff that they may pass through, that non-NCAA institutions don't count towards NCAA eligibility. There are things like degree progress, all of that, that may influence some of it, but, and I'm sure the NCAA will fight tooth and nail to make sure that it doesn't happen. Because it loses some of the amateurism status and all that stuff, which they've already changed a lot of that anyway. But with that being said, you have to pretend like it's not going to happen, but also be ready for if it's going to happen. And so I say a lot of this to really anyone going through the process is that recruiting is going to continue to become harder and harder and harder. In terms of that, the way that it's going, it's becoming that the top schools, and especially with the roster spots, everything like that, you have to understand that it's a free market. It's becoming even more freer in the sense that there's less limitations on how players can move, and there are also less spots, meaning things are a lot more fluid for the players and harder for the recruiting staffs to decide how they're going to fill up their spots. And so what that ultimately means is that you have to play this game of musical chairs and find your spot. And it means you can't be picky about which place you go, whether it's NA, JUCO, D3, D2, D1. And you can't waste chances to, get known by more coaches, to build relationships. You have to knock on every door. You have to, put your eggs in all the baskets. You have to maximize your chances of exposure because there's just so much at play. And so many different things going on. And so that is really what this biggest thing of this JUCO. I talked to a buddy of mine who is a big recruiting account. I'm not going to say who, but we're kind of talking back and forth about it. And I was like, what's your thoughts? Like, what are your thoughts on the future? And he works with all sports. So little bit of a different mindset, but I agreed with him in the sense that it is going to become tougher to get recruited. And it just seems to be on that track of like recruiting is only going to get tougher from here on out. And especially for football, because I look at, it's why I've stayed football focused, because if there's any like sport that is the toughest to get recruited at, it's football. Everybody wants to play football, especially now with NIL. Even before then, you know, everybody wanted to play college football. You don't see many people choosing tennis over football to play unless, you know, you grew up playing tennis. And it's because, you know, you're on a big stage, you have the chance to go to the NFL, you have the chance to get NIL now. And so it will only become more and more competitive. And especially with the roster spot reductions, there are less spots out there more than ever. If this JUCO eligibility comes through, then high school players are even at a bigger disadvantage than ever, because their eligibility is no longer a valid point, or as much of a valid point. And so there are a lot of things that bring disadvantages. And so I look at it, and it's just mindset. My mindset is you can look at it as, you know, hey, woe is me. Or you can look at it as like, what can I do to overcome those odds and make the things that I want to happen. And that's what we're doing over here. I mean, we're still pushing on, still doing stuff. Got responses from Notre Dame and Virginia Tech over the past couple of days for some of our guys, and super stoked about that. I don't think we'll be slowing any time down anytime soon. But you can't let these things get to you. You have to figure out ways to make it, you know, still push through, still get to your goals regardless, or figure out the best path for your goals. I'm sure we'll see things shift over the next couple months and see how this all plays out. I'm expecting more news to come out over the next couple months. I believe Diego Pavia has more to his kind of case over the next couple months as well. So as that continue plays out, the storyline will unfold, and we'll see how things go. But at the moment, again, just to recap, my understanding, at least what I've seen from most people and some of the people I follow now are lawyers, because they know more than me on this case, but it is only for seniors in college football. So guys that were expecting to not be able to have any more eligibility, if they were on their last year of eligibility, essentially, they get the extra year. If they were at a non-NCAA institution, so it's NA and junior college, but they still have to be from 2020 on, essentially in the 5 years of eligibility, everything like that. And so we'll see how it plays out. It's interesting nonetheless. Let me know if you have any questions. Maybe I missed something as well. But that's pretty much how it all lies at the moment. So hopefully you got something from this. If you like this, if you want more stuff like it, be sure to subscribe. See you in the next one. Peace.